Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit about purpose and hope today. So we'll start out with Jeremiah 29:11. This is out of the American Standard Bible. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and hope." A lot of people use that verse when they're going through a difficult time and a hard time, because it does kind of revives your hope that you know that that situation is only temporary and that by God's grace, you're going to get through it. But that verse has so much more context to it than when you're just going through a difficult time. So it's one that we should rely upon consistently. And I know we've heard it time and time again, but that's a godly timing. I mean, there's a reason we know that verse, and it's anchored in our hearts. So plans comes from a word meaning to weave or to mix. The concept is simple. It's combining two or more substances to create something new. When used in reference to the mind, it refers to thoughts mixing together to form a plan. So God has plans for our future that involve more than big rescue operations or running a huge spiritual church. That his plans are his all-wise thoughts woven together that he put into us before we were even born. So God loves the dreamers, right? So we know Moses was a dreamer. God is a dreamer. Those dreams become thoughts that mix together that become a plan. So if we were not dreamers, right? He created us because we're his co-dreamers, right? So him plus us equals plans in action. Does that make sense? Could you imagine if we weren't dreamers? Like, what fuddy duds we would be. I was like, when I started thinking about that, I'm like, we can have confidence that we are more than just a meaningless blip on the radar of eternity. God has assignments that we are to accomplish. There's peoples whose lives we are to impact. There are certain prayers we are supposed to pray. There are certain people we are supposed to pray for. That includes our government. There are certain impacts in our communities or in our states or across the world that is in our plans. And there's so much more to it. But hope is a word that means a pleasant expectation regarding the future. It is also a word for a cord or a tether. So hope connects us to our future, but the lack of hope can cause us to give up on life. Thereby, it disconnects that tether. When we lose hope, that tether disconnects and disconnects us from the plans of our future. And also believing and knowing that God's plans are for good, and for a good destiny for you, that is more than just optimism. That is knowledge and understanding what connects us to hope and to our Father. It's that tether. Hope also forms paths that we are supposed to travel. We no longer will wander around aimlessly, but follow a map God gives us if we seek Him daily. That's Proverbs 3:5-6. I didn't. Okay, moving on. Life becomes a secure, meaningful, when we start seeking Him daily, our lives will become a secure, meaningful journey and not a maze of endless busyness, dead ends, wrong turns, wrong decisions. We don't have to worry about those things anymore if you are seeking Him daily, because that revives your hope and your future. God destines some people to be leaders, including leadership in the government. Donald Trump now believes that God saved his life in order for him to play a significant role in saving America. This belief has become a purpose that has, within Trump, produced a passion for God. We are seeing a completely different man than we did in his first term, and he had to go. And when he was walking through all the turmoil he was being put through, see, all of that becomes into something much greater. Had he not went through his first term, had to endure everything he did, and then got reelected, he would not be the man he is today. That is a part of the plans. Now, the evil that came against him was not, that will be dealt with, but he kept moving forward. You don't go back. He now possesses the passion. He now possesses incredible motivation, and he's an incredible motivator. He has incredible discipline, and he is one focused son of a gun right now. But all that comes from his tether. There are others in our government, I'm sure, are designed by God's calling and their positions they are in. But we may not see it as much as we have in Trump, because they may have not did what Alan did this morning. Stepped into the faith. Okay, they know it's there. They believe in God. They love God. But they've got to step out in faith. They don't step out in their position or what other leaders think they should step out in. They step out. He steps out. You step out towards God. Their calling is, God's calling is not limited to religion, a religious world. Adam was called to be a gardener. David was called to be a shepherd. Abraham was called to be a rancher. But God used these individuals where they were and tethered them, moved them forward to a better future. Their responsibilities in their career is how he could intervene spiritually to move them forward to do great, great things. You know, many individuals, okay, I work in tax. And thank you that I have a good job. I have insurance. Amen. But it's obviously not considered a spiritual profession. But a lot of people, like Will with his shop, Travis with maintenance, Aaron substituting, you know, people in positions like that can do more spiritually to expand the kingdom of God than some people in actual spiritual professions can do. Since this is true for all of God's children, that also means it's true for our government too. This means that we must pray for God's gifts and anointing and wisdom to not only be given to our government, but we need to be doing that over ourselves and for each other. To know what your purpose is, you need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because that is going to be what you hear right here and right here, that's going to say yes or no, stop or go. And so once you are connected to the Holy Spirit in a spiritual way and daily, you all of a sudden each day is going to start getting easier and easier, because you just know what you're supposed to do. You just know what you're supposed to say. So in some of the powerful positions, okay, I'm going to use Trump. Okay. We know he's spiritual man of God now. Are we supposed to believe that God does not call people and equip them for that level of influence? Of course he does. He will meet you where you are and use you to expand his kingdom. He will give you the spiritual gifts. He will give you the understanding and the knowledge to know how you are supposed to work for him, through him. This means we must pray for the assignments that that the Holy Spirit gives us, dreams or visions or words that know. That's how we need to pray over ourselves to keep that hope and understand what our purpose is to expand the kingdom of God. The people today, including us, are making decisions that change our world or the world. And so that's why it's so important not only to pray over others, but there are times, just honestly, that I find if I'm going through a situation, I am the hardest person to pray for from myself. But we have to. It is so much easier to pray over my loved ones or people that are in my heart, you know, but when it comes to myself, it's just like, whatever, you know, I do. I go through those moments. It's just like, you know, go kick rocks. You gotta refocus. It's kind of like what we talked about last time. God gave us emotions. Fine. Have your emotions. You just don't get stuck there. That turns you into a miserable person. So Jacob is a good reference for us to look at. God wrote a plan, purpose, and intention for our lives before we were born. That's Psalms 139:13-16. Again, this does not remove us from the power of our own choices or our free will. But what it does do is give us hope in the meaning of the pre-planned purpose God wrote just for us, for each of us. We all have our different purpose. We must draw near to Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to steer us in the right directions and give us the needed training to accomplish our purposes. Akarith in Hebrew means that which is behind and that which is ahead. The explanation for this that Hebrews pictured was a person moving towards his or her future as one in a rowing boat. So they back into their future, okay? So the best way to propel a rowboat is you sit with your back towards the direction you're going to go. You have to look behind you to get to your future, to your destination. If you start turning your head, one of your oars is going to start and you're going to start going in circles, or you're going to get off the direction of where you want to go. And so the reference of this is that you are facing in a line with your destination that was behind you. You can row towards your destination without constantly turning your head. To state this another way, your reference point is your past. Where you've already been, that's behind you. But you are using the past to get to your future. Okay? So this, when you're rowing, okay, so we're rowing in faith, that when something comes up, you're like, you don't start looking off different directions of your past. You've got to keep going forward, but you use your past lessons and references and God's, your testimonies, your blessings, because you got to keep focused on those to keep going. You can't focus on all the bad stuff of your past, but you learn from your lessons so that you don't do them again, hopefully. And so that's kind of, you know what I mean? So do you get by the rowboat? It's like you've got to see your past to get to your future. Our faith is anchored in this, starting with His word. We cannot see all the future, but we can see His promises and everything He's done in the past to keep our hope alive for going for the future. It is no revelation that God does not share all the details of our future with us. He demands that we walk by faith. And, when we experience challenges, obstacles, detours, failures, we must keep our focus on His word and His past faithfulness to us, knowing if we do so, He will maintain us on course to our future. We keep that tether going. Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their step. This verse teaches us that why we make our own plans, it is ultimately God who determines our future path. Our dreams, aspirations, our goals are important, but we must always seek God's guidance and surrender to His leading. Psalms 37:4-5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. This encourages us to find our delight and satisfaction in the Lord. It assures us that when we prioritize our relationship with Him, He will fulfill the desires of our heart. It reminds us that our future is secure when we commit our plans to Him and trust in His guidance. We align our desires, our dreams, with His, which is His will. And then that's where you have that little perfect moment where everything, your plans, His plans, all start coming together. Philippians 3:13-14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider I have made it on my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching for what lies ahead of me. I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ. That reminds us that our future is not defined by our past, but we must remember our past to get to our future. By keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and striving towards the eternal prize, we can confidently move forward into a future marked by purpose, hope, and fulfillment. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing any obstacle that blocks your way. We should place our complete trust in the Lord and rely on his wisdom and guidance. To remind us to surrender our own limited understanding. We think we're really smart folks, but compared to him, it's just like, no, it just, we're kind of Gomerish, Gomer Powell-ish. When we submit to God's will and trust in his plans, he will lead us on the right path towards a future filled with his blessings and favor. By trusting in his faithfulness, we can confidently navigate the uncertainties of our future with peace and assurance. Psalms 32:8, I will instruct you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. That is comforting. We are not alone in making decisions or trying to determine our own paths. God is intimately involved in every detail of our lives. And he desires to lead us towards a future that aligns with his dreams and plans. By seeking his counsel and submitting to his guidance, we can step into a future filled with hope, blessings, and assurance. There are so many promises that God has given us that we shouldn't even have a shadow of a doubt of who and what we are in him and our purpose. Your life is not random or accidental. God has intentional, hopeful plans for you. Purpose is not about perfection. It's about connection. Your unique qualities matter to God. Some ideas that we may have in our minds at time is feeling uncertain about your future. Or what is my purpose? There's got to be more to life than working and cleaning every day. You know, those moments when you're like, well, of course there is. You're just ignoring it. You're not going to the source to find what you're supposed to be doing. You're the one sitting there going to your job you may or may not like and cleaning the house begrudgingly every day. That's not what God created you to do. You should do it, but, you know. So, you also a good thing to ask yourself is, how are your expectations of yourself different than God's expectations for you? So that you are unique to God. You were intentionally crafted. He crafted you as his own creation, just how he wanted you. Your purpose isn't about being the best. It's about being authentic. God's works aren't just big, dramatic things that we see on the news or hear about. They're, you know, I don't have a $60 million jet that I go all around the world. And I mean, I would, but, you know, it's, if he cared so much on the smallest details, how many eyelashes I have, you know, if he cares about such small details, don't you know in your purpose, he cares about all those small details too? See, we're not all called to be these big, extravagant stage, whatever you want to call it. Some of us, we're the ones that reach the one person nobody else could reach. We're the ones that love on people. We invite them to church. We love on them when they're here. We pray with them. We walk through the storms with them. We give them hope. You have to have those things. If everybody was a televangelist, let's just put it that way, we would gain the word. But what would we gain personally from that? All those little hardships we go through that you need that friend or that family or that spiritual leader to take you through, because we are weak in our own skin at times. And we do need people who love us and care about us and that we know for sure love the Lord. We don't just go to any random Joe and be like, Joe, I lost my job. Joe don't care. But if I went to Terry and said, God, I lost my job. This really stinks. You know, Terry's going to shake her head and she's like, okay, well, here's what the word says. Here's how we're going to play for it. And then she's going to keep checking in, making sure that I'm following that and I'm not back there sucking my thumb crying about it. You know, so you got to have people who are true, love the Lord people in your lives to help you through all those little anthills that suddenly turn into mountains. Your everyday choices can reflect God's design. Here are some general kind of purposes, actions. Our purpose begins with God's plan for our life. Many of us start out with great plans for our future. We may not have completely defined the purpose, but we have excitement and wonder about our future. But what happens when you get off course or you lose your way a little bit? Many of us wrestle with disappointments and hurts, discouragement, and that causes us to abandon that plan, that exciting plan we had for our future. Because of our discouragement, we settle and we pack our bags and head to a journey that is easier, more available, and offers the least amount of pain or resistance. Guess where that's going to get you? As you walk through seasons of life, your missions may change based on your physical, mental, or emotional state. And by changing that, so when God creates a plan for you and say you go through, we'll call the season, okay? When you go through a season, he's not just going to brush you off and be like, well, she failed, on to the next. No. He will gently sit there and mold you as long as you stick with him. And you're still going to finish your plan, his plan for you. But he might take you on a little bit of a different direction because he loves and cares for you. He doesn't want to see you down and out and sad and sick and discouraged. That's not our God. That's not our God. He's going to sit there and mold you with his loving hands and get you right back on track if you let him. We do have deep-rooted passions that we carry around with us all of our lives. During different seasons, adjustments will be made, but one or more of your core passions will not change. That passion you placed in you, it's kind of that lingering, that calling, you know what you're good at, and you know, that's your passion. So that may stick with you, even though your paths or the course has changed a little bit. Sometimes having a passion, though, does not mean you can fulfill it. I can be passionate about singing, but Lord didn't give me the singing voice. It went to my sister. you might love athletes or, you know, sports, but you may not have an athletic bone in your body. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be a part of the, let's say, basketball program or baseball program, whatever, but it may look different than what you thought, but he will still use that passion and use you in that passion you have. So you may not be slamming out home runs, but you may be the coach, you know? So, John the Baptist was one that fulfilled his God-given purpose. His purpose was to point us to Jesus. John was not the main guy on the stage. And he was content with his God-given purpose to use his talents and skills to proclaim that Jesus was coming to save the world. The Bible says that Moses, his purpose was to lead Jewish people out of the promised land. He did not feel equipped or ready or worthy at that time, but he submitted to God, and he got her done. He stepped out in faith and overcame his fear to fulfill his God-given purpose. But he was sensitive to God. He listened. He heard him. And if you're not doing that, you could very well. You could have been part of your purpose and on that road when you were 10, 20 years old. But if you were busy with other things like most 20 years old, you might have missed that opportunity he presented to you. And now you might be 40, 50, 60 by the time you get on that. So that's what I'm saying. He will use you because he does. He has to go, he has to sit there and watch us deal with our free will and our silly decision making, but he will still take us through that time and get us back to where we're supposed to be. So if you ever feel in a down and out moment or just blah, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know, I guess I'll go to church today, or I'll tithe $5, I guess. When you start doing stuff like that, taking time and taking stuff away from God, you are going to be in a stagnant place a whole lot longer. And so you got to make intentional connections with him daily. If you want peace, if you want understanding, if you want knowledge, you have to. So I love Wheel of Fortune. And so when you think of it like this, I know 6:30, boom, all right. You know, so I set time aside to watch Wheel of Fortune. Why don't I set time aside for God? You know, it's so easy in our daily lives and habits and patterns to just go, you just go through the day. Like, I guess it's a zombie or something. Just like, you know, your days just feel bleh. And once you start engaging with the Holy Spirit and engaging with God, all of a sudden, everything seems a little bit brighter. Everything seems a little bit easier. You start understanding things better. And so you have to be intentional about it. See, he wants us to come to him, right? We're not just sitting there with a, kind of like I used that reference one time. Birds just don't sit on the ground with their mouths open waiting to be fed. They got to do the work to be fed, right? Now, it doesn't mean while they're working that God's not like, here, cute little bird thing. There's 25 worms for you, you know? So once we start moving, he will start blessing, right? Okay. And through loving and serving God, you will learn what his purpose is for you and what your purpose in this life is. Yep. Okay.
Oh, now you don't clap for me. So you're not